From the Department of Surgery at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, welcome to the Surgery Set. I'm Jonathan Kohler, an assistant professor in pediatric surgery here in Madison. With this podcast, I'm exploring the ideas, the inventions, and the innovations of our department, plus meeting a lot of really cool people. I'm excited for you to join me. Our guest today is Dr. Angie Ingraham. She's an assistant professor at the University of Wisconsin here with the Division of Trauma and Acute Care Surgery. She does research on trauma and emergency general surgery and spoke to us today about emergency general surgery and transfers. You can see her grand rounds online at our website, but today we're just going to talk to Angie about some of the exciting work she's doing on EGS transfers and how hopefully we're going to be making the world a better place here in Madison. So welcome.
Thank you.
You may remember Angie's voice from an earlier podcast where she serves occasionally, actually, as a guest host of the Surgery Set, and now we've turned the tables.
And Jonathan does a great job on it, so.
It was great hearing your talk. We actually share an office, so I've heard a little bit about the work you're doing. We're both investigators with the Wisconsin Surgical Outcomes Research Group here, which is a big group of health services researchers in surgery. And you actually, you come here with background in emergency general surgery research, right?
Right. So I did my fellowship at Pittsburgh with acute care surgery, which is a two-year fellowship. And in the second year, I was fortunate to get an American Association for the Surgery of Trauma grant to develop quality indicators for emergency general surgery patients. And so that had built on my experience in residency doing research, again, looking at outcomes of emergency general surgery patients, primarily using the NISQIP data.
Yeah, which is why I feel so far behind. I guess you do have a few years head start on me, though we started at the same time. And you've basically, so like me, you've been here a little over a year, and your work now focuses primarily on emergency general surgery transfers.
Right. And so we're in the process of looking at several different databases, including the Wisconsin Hospital Association database, to further explore the patients who are being transferred around the state of Wisconsin, as well as how they do and how we can potentially improve those outcomes for those patients.
And you sort of make the point in your talk that maybe emergency general surgery, which is sort of non-trauma surgical transfers, should maybe be modeled a little bit more closely on the current trauma system, where there is sort of a set guideline and different levels of centers for transfer and an established pattern for moving patients around.
Right. And I think that is kind of for multiple reasons. From a referring provider standpoint, I think having those guidelines would facilitate their care of the patient, because when I'm talking to referring providers around the state of Wisconsin, they can often express frustration about the inability to find accepting hospitals or accepting physicians to try to help them take care of the patients. And so I think having some of those guidelines would streamline that process for the referring provider. And then also on the flip side, for the accepting provider, I think also having those guidelines would help to get those patients who do need to be transferred to us sooner, so that we could potentially improve those outcomes for those patients.
I guess the issue with that that comes to my mind is, like, trauma is a pretty fixed set of diagnoses, right? I mean, they were like run over by a tractor or shot in the chest. I mean, there's like the paramedics kind of know what the problem is. The ED knows what the problem is. And it's pretty obvious that there's a traumatic injury and that escalation up the trauma ladder makes sense. But with EGS, I mean, the abdomen is a black box. So you have patients, you know something's wrong, you're not sure what it is. Kind of where in the process does it make sense to start thinking about emergency general surgery transfers to tertiary care?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question and something that we still need to sort out. You're totally right that, you know, what goes on in someone's abdomen is a black hole until you have that diagnosis. And it's a matter of trying to facilitate the referring providers to get to that diagnosis as quickly as possible, and then recognizing whether or not they can or can't provide for that patient due to either their own limitations of the hospital. You know, some hospitals don't have interventional radiology and things, so draining abscesses and things aren't possible at those hospitals. So I think, you know, we want to try to identify the patients who need to be transferred as early as possible, but I do think that that time frame is going to be different for each patient.
Yeah. Maybe we should get to kind of what you talk about is the idealized state of emergency general surgery transfers, but let's talk first sort of what's the current state in Wisconsin of EGS transfers, and how does it work for patients to get from a community emergency department to a tertiary care center like the University of Wisconsin?
So most of the major academic centers throughout the country have established what are variably called access centers or transfer centers. And so at the University of Wisconsin, we do have the access center. So it's a very good resource for community providers. They can call the access center. This isn't true across the country, but at the UW access center, all the people who answer the phone are nurses who are trained in doing this, which I think gives them a significant insight into the transfer process. The referring provider can call the access center, speak to the nurse, and the nurse is the one who takes the history and then helps to figure out which provider at the University of Wisconsin is most appropriate for that referring provider to talk to facilitate the transfer. So then there's a three-way phone call between those providers and the access center nurse. There's a discussion about where the patient is going to come into the UW system, whether they go to the emergency department or whether they go to the ICU or the floor, depending on the patient's circumstances. And then it is the job of the access center nurse to help to facilitate that transfer. So they are in charge of taking care of the bed requests. They help to facilitate the transportation. They actually help to facilitate getting information from the referring hospital to the UW physicians in terms of paperwork or imaging studies, those types of things. And so that access center nurse is vital to this transfer process at the University of Wisconsin and really is there to serve and facilitate the transfer for the patient as well as the referring accepting providers.
Yeah, I mean, not to toot our horns too much, but I mean, I will say that, you know, having worked at a few different places, like our access center, nurses here are really good. I mean, yeah. they tend to sort of call and, you know, before they put you on the line with the referring provider, they'll sort of give you a history where they've clearly asked all the right questions already. And then, you know, the facilitation of that transfer seems pretty reliably very solid, including something that I think is actually fairly unique or at least uncommon, which is that we have a really good ability to get images transferred through the PAC system from basically anywhere in the state so that we can sort of see the images, you know, during that referral process.
Right. The radiology department at the University of Wisconsin and the IT department spent a significant amount of time and resources so that referring providers can take, for example, a CAT scan that was done at an outside hospital and push it, for lack of a better term, into the UW PAC system so that I, as an accepting provider, can start to look at that CAT scan prior to the patient even leaving the referring institution. That has dramatically decreased the number of repeat imaging that I've needed to order on my patients who are transferred, because at other institutions, you know, that transfer of that information relies on the referring providers trying to get their radiology departments to make a CD and then having that CD physically be transferred to the accepting hospital and then having the computers at the accepting hospital be able to upload and actually open that CD information so that you can look at the images all when the patient gets there. This process that has been set up at UW makes that transfer of imaging information much easier and run much more smoothly and ultimately lets me take care of my patients quicker for that reason.
It is kind of amazing that, like, with all the advances we've made in this 21st century, like, moving 100 megabytes of data means, like, still a challenge, but I think something that we've figured out, you know, better than a lot of places, which is nice. Still, I think, you know, everybody knows that the transfer process is fraught with potential complications. There's a lot of handoffs. I mean, you get into a lot of this in sort of a review, a comprehensive review of the literature in your talk. What do you think are sort of the biggest challenges that we're facing right now in terms of, you know, effective EGS transfers? And then maybe talk a little bit about, you know, what would the ideal look like?
I think one of the biggest challenges right now is particularly bed capacity at these tertiary centers. So I have not worked in a tertiary care center recently where there have not been multiple requests to have patients be discharged so that we can increase our bed capacity and accommodate not only the patients who are being served at that hospital in terms of operating rooms and people coming in through the ED, but also facilitate transfers from outside hospitals. And so I think one of the biggest challenges is, as a system, as a region, and as a nation, we really need to look at who needs to be cared for at these tertiary care centers. Those tertiary care centers have a very unique subset of providers who often have specialized training. They have a unique subset of services that they can provide. And so someone who does not necessarily need those specialized services or providers and can still receive excellent care at non-tertiary care centers may be better served at receiving that care at those non-tertiary care centers so that we can free up that bed space for the patients who really need those specialized services. That obviously is fraught with difficulty in terms of patient preference and insurance and things of that nature. But I think we do need to be a little more reserved and cautious with the services that we can provide at tertiary care centers, because right now we're somewhat overwhelming the system.
Yeah. So just sort of figuring out what patients need to go where,
right?
Like there's tertiary care, there's, I guess, quaternary care, right? There's a whole range of hospitals, just like there could be a whole range of levels of trauma centers, right? Not everybody has to go to the level one center if there's
exactly.
a more appropriate level two center close
Correct.
By or whatever, right? You talk about, you know, some things that people have done in the talk in terms of developing special units or transfer instruments. I mean, there are innovations currently being made in this world, right?
Yeah. You know, we as a EGS kind of system and service are essentially back in the 1960s compared to the trauma centers. So we are just now kind of starting to have that evidence to support some of this regionalization or centralization. And so we still have a lot more work to do. And I think it is important to note that, you know, what works for one system or one healthcare unit may not necessarily work for all. So we have to be cautious in what we recommend and recognize that it's going to have to be adaptable to the real world situation that our providers and patients are facing.
Yeah, and Caprice Greenberg in your talk asked a question at the end about how to use Wisconsin as a laboratory for that, because I think we are in a particularly good place in this state for studying these sorts of effects, right?
Yeah. So, you know, within the trauma system of Wisconsin, there are two level one trauma centers at University of Madison as well as at Frater. And otherwise, you know, those are the kind of two major hubs of medical, quaternary or tertiary medical communities in Wisconsin. And we do draw from patients throughout the state as well as from northern Illinois, but it's not necessarily the same as would be expected in the Northeast, where you have such a concentrated variety of medical centers in such a small amount of area. And so it does set up for a nice kind of lab in the state of Wisconsin to study this.
Right, just because there's like a limited
number
of major centers.
Right,
and so you can sort of, it's easier to map where everybody's going.
Correct.
And this is your work, right? This is your academic project, is figuring this out.
Yes. So it's interesting though, because it is something that, you know, I do take all of this academic work and I try to draw from my clinical experiences. And so having been a trauma and acute care surgeon, you know, at two different institutions as attending now, because we were essentially attendings during our second year of fellowship, you know, I regularly am taking these calls from these outside providers and caring for these patients who are transferred. So it's very rewarding to be able to take some of that clinical knowledge that I have and experience that I have and translate it into my research.
Yeah. And what's sort of your current ongoing research projects? What are you studying specifically right now?
Right now, I'm primarily working with various databases to get more national data as well as Wisconsin data on how patients do, because despite some of the studies that we have that are primarily single institution studies that show that transfer patients do poorly, we don't have a lot of national data, which I think is needed in order to further emphasize the need for continued research and continued funding on this project. And then we are in the process of submitting our K award grant to the AHRQ, which will further study this for the state of Wisconsin and engage stakeholders to develop interventions to improve the transfer system.
Cool. So just first figure out the true nature and extent of the problem and then start fixing
it. Attack it.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thanks again so much for joining us on the podcast today. Thanks for your talk this morning, which is, of course, available on the website. If people want to watch it for free CME credit, they can get an hour's worth of really valuable information about the current state and future trends and transfers, which is obviously a big part of all our lives. So,
thank you.
Thanks again for joining us. Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Join us next time when we talk with Dr. Ron Herschel. He's the head of the Department of Pediatric Surgery at C.S. Mott Children's Hospital at the University of Michigan and a titan in the world of pediatric surgery. He'll be discussing some of his research on liquid ventilation and artificial lungs. And we'll also be talking about the potential future of surgical training.
There is an underlying reality that breathing liquids is, for many reasons, because you can control the gas content and also because we can keep the lung inflated and even lavage the lungs, it can be very effective.
We hope you join us. Thanks for listening. The Surgery Set is a production of the Department of Surgery at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. This episode was produced by Rebecca Wazileski and myself. It was audio engineered by Chris Hansen and edited by Alex Worley. Our theme song is On Wisconsin, arranged and produced by Jamie Schmidt. I encourage you to visit us at surgery.wisc.edu, where you can find links to Grand Rounds, free CME credits, and more. You can also check out the UW School of Medicine and Public Health Video Library for a wide range of medical education resources at videos.med.wisc.edu. In addition, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And of course, you can follow us on social media. You can like our Facebook page and also find us on Twitter at Wisc Surgery, as well as me at J.E. Kohler. Please feel free to let us know how we're doing, and especially let us know if there are topics you'd like us to cover. Thanks, and we hope you check back soon. On Wisconsin.